welcome everybody to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Eric Horn. We tried to have Brett Dawson on. We were having some technical difficulties, but we will have him on tomorrow because the Thunder season is over. That's right, folks. The Thunder season is over. Game 6, final score. The Jazz wins 96-91 in Salt Lake City. I'm here with Barry Trammell. We are talking about the end of the Thunder season. Barry, we're not surprised, but it was a
strange game.
It was a strange game,
real strange.
An ending that is fitting considering this Thunder season, with the basically just shots missed, 0-7 in probably the final, you know, minute and
absolutely
20 so.
It's 0-7 in the last 1 minute. 0-7.
It was
three or four of them desperation type.
Yeah. It was an encapsulation of the Thunder season to me because we saw this desperation, but we also saw it too late. And too often this season we saw the Thunder desperate at times when it was too late to be desperate. There wasn't a sense of urgency all season. These guys started the season 8-12. Throughout that entire stretch, they kept saying, oh, we'll get it. It's going to come. It takes time. And then we get to the end of the season, and we see some of the same bad habits. We see some of the same lackadaisical devaluing of possessions. Some of the same stuff that killed the Thunder all season, they still didn't get over when it came down to playing or having to play their best basketball.
Yeah. And it was – they lost to a better team. That's
no question.
Happened.
We've been saying that for 2 weeks now.
Thunder plays tonight without rookie Rubio the last 3.5 quarters. He pulls a hamstring. And they play Dante Exum a little bit and realize, hey, the backup point guard can't hack it. So they basically just improvise and played Donovan Mitchell, Joe Ingles, and Alec Burks a little bit at point guard. And, you know, the story of this game was Westbrook was magnificent. Steven Adams was fantastic. But Paul George was awful. And Carmelo Anthony was –
was Carmelo Anthony.
Was ineffective.
He was Carmelo Anthony.
He was irrelevant.
Didn't take a three-point shot.
Nope.
They brought him here to shoot spot-up threes, did not take a three-point shot.
And that's not going to – you know, you're not going to win. The Westbrook's the only starter who made a three. Jeremy Grant made two. Raymond Felton made one. But, you know, Paul George just played one of the worst games of his career. 2 of 16, 5 points, 6 turnovers. He did have 8 assists. Much of that is because he decided he wasn't going to shoot. I mean, he got out of the business of shooting, I thought. Now, at the end, he started firing it up. But he does not have a basket after the first 7 minutes, 7.5, 8 minutes. Last 40 minutes, he didn't have a basket. He had 1 point after halftime. And, well, it reminded me of last year when Westbrook's out there and Oladipo can't make a shot and Adams is playing his butt off, but, you know, the third leading scorer last year, or the second leading scorer in the playoffs, the series against Houston, was Andre Roberson. That's what it felt like tonight. Just a bunch of inefficient players around Westbrook and Adams.
Yeah, and, you know, we've tried to defend Billy Donovan or for a better part of the season because these guys weren't doing what he wanted to do. They were stopping the ball. They were being stagnant. We saw that tonight with Raymond Felton just pounding the ball until late in the shot clock, the ball not moving. We hear Billy Donovan during the games, move the ball, move it, move it. These guys don't move the ball. They get stuck. There's no ball movement off the ball. But, you know, there comes a point in time where, like, Billy Donovan's got to atone for some of this stuff. Like, these guys didn't have the offensive cohesion they should have had all season. But we know they're capable of it. Because, honestly, in the last 7 minutes of the game, when the Thunder got down 13 and they had to move the ball didn't stick necessarily until they got in desperation situations and they had to chuck up a bunch of shots off of offensive rebounds when they were, you know, it's a three-point game, 94-93, and they've got to just basically jack up shots. Westbrook's finding Adams for open looks. Raymond Felton's finding Westbrook for, you know, a spot up three. Westbrook's assisting guys. Felton's assisting guys. Felton's playing because Carmelo Anthony just cannot play anymore. He's completely ineffective. But they were actually finding shots within the flow of an offense, aside from Westbrook, you know, pulling up, missing some, had a couple air ball threes, which were not great. But at that point, you're just trying to just find shots. Like you were saying, Paul George was just skirting from finding shots, completely just out of shooting. But they were moving the ball in that fourth quarter. How much of it is Billy Donovan? How much of it is these guys just not doing what they're supposed to do when they're supposed to do it?
Oh, I think it's the guys. I don't think you can teach an old dog new tricks. My chief complaint with Donovan is we saw tonight a season long of playing Carmelo too much finally cost him. He did limit Carmelo. He got Carmelo's minutes down to 25 minutes, but they needed to be less than that.
To start that third quarter, it was just they were targeting him on pretty much every play.
You can't do it. So Donovan Mitchell had 22 points in the third quarter, 22 minutes in the first 10 minutes of the third quarter. And I think what they say, did he make 10 straight shots, I think? I think he made 10 straight shots.
He had a 10-0 run by himself he scored the Jazz's first 10 points of the third quarter.
Yeah. So Carmelo is –
and a lot of those were isolated against Melo, driving at Melo. Some of them were just incredible shots.
Yeah, he made some circus shots over Adams and all that stuff.
Yeah, there was
– he can't – you know, we saw it in November or December. We sort of figured out, you know what, Jeremy Grant is a really valuable guy. He might ought to get some of Carmelo's minutes. We saw in this series, Jeremy Grant needed to be playing the majority of games. He actually did play more than Carmelo tonight, 29 minutes to Carmelo's 25, but Thunder outscored by 19. Was it 19 or 16? I think it was 19 in Carmelo's 25 minutes. There's nobody else on that ledger on either team that stands out plus minus except Carmelo Anthony. And it just killed him. And going forward, you know, who knows what Paul George will do, but that's a case of they got to figure out something different. They can't give those kinds of minutes to Carmelo Anthony because he's just not who he used to be.
Yeah, it was sad to see. And, you know, I asked Billy Donovan in pregame, like, if teams try and isolate against Carmelo, how can you help him? And, you know, Billy was like, you know, you got to be able to – it's not just a one-man thing. You got to be able to have defense that can be help defense and assist Carmelo in that. And, you know, there were times in the third quarter where Carmelo actually did a good job of staying in front of Donovan Mitchell. Paul George would be the help, and Donovan Mitchell would make a circus shot. But the thing is, when they get isolated against Carmelo Anthony, when it's Donovan Mitchell, you got far less of a chance of Carmelo Anthony being able to disrupt a Donovan Mitchell step-back three-pointer or any kind of step-back shot when it's Melo isolated on him as opposed to Jeremy Grant, Paul George. We saw Jeremy Grant. Even Steven Adams.
Who had two great plays in the first half. Back-to-back, he got isolated on Donovan Mitchell. On one of them, he tips the ball away. Mitchell tries to, you know, juke him with a dribble. Adams tips the ball away and leads a fast break. And the other, he stays in front of Mitchell and forces Mitchell to go up and come down with the ball for a travel. But if you're going to switch, you can't switch with Carmelo out there. And here's the thing. If somehow the Thunder had won this game and won Game 7, it was not going to be pretty. Carmelo Anthony. Trying to guard the Houston Rockets.
We've seen it in the regular season. I mean, them just going at them play after
They'd
play
been
after
better.
Play.
The Thunder would have been better off in Houston if Carmelo guards Clint Capella and Steven Adams guards Trevor Ariza. That's a better matchup.
Yeah. Yeah, because Steven Adams can close out to the corners better than Carmelo can.
So he's a
just,
mess. He's a
he
mess.
Just can't get out there. And look, it's a failed experiment. They've got a guy starting that is ineffective on both ends. Andre Robertson's a more effective offensive player than Carmelo Anthony is. He's a better defender. Andre Robertson at least cuts and moves, and when he gets the ball, he'll move it. I see you looking around like, well, I don't know about that. But
it's an interesting thought. You made me stop and think about it. Here's the deal about Carmelo. I think we said it to somebody. Maybe I said it to you at lunch. When they signed Carmelo, you thought, hey, this guy is going to score at a high rate. And, you know, about every fifth game, he's going to be the man. Not George, not Westbrook, Carmelo, but every fifth game. And maybe once every 10 games, he's going to get up in the 30s and drop 34 and 36. Well, turns out there's not any 30-point games. And he leads the team in scoring about, what, once every 40 games instead of once of every five games. And he, you know, today he's 3 out of 7, all on, or I think it was 6 mid-ranges. He had one nice drive. He had 7 points.
Couple of free throws.
Yeah, he twice drove and once made the basket, once fouled. But he wouldn't be a bad guy coming off the bench to play 15, 18 minutes. But, you know.
But, you know, the use of him is sort of an indictment of this season. It kind of shows you how unseriously the Thunder was taking this season. Or with not the amount of seriousness they should have taken this season. Because if they were really serious about keeping Paul George, if they were really serious about pursuing a championship, they would have made the recognition far earlier in the decision, right, that they needed to limit Carmelo Anthony's minutes.
That's right. That's exactly right. And now what we don't know are the politics.
We know how Melo feels. I think we know how Melo feels.
I'm talking about
over Melo's head.
I'm talking about George.
Okay.
Feeling about Melo, and Russ to a lesser extent. Russ signs his, he extends his contract the day after. I mean, he signs a new contract. It was the day after the Carmelo trade, right? Do I have that right? I think that's right.
Yeah, because Melo got traded on Sunday. Or Saturday.
Saturday, and Russ signs Russ on Sunday.
This or is what happened. Days. Russ signed on Friday. They traded for Melo, and then they did the Russ celebration on Sunday.
Oh, wait. Yeah, that's right. No, that's right.
Hang on. Yeah, because media day was Monday.
Yes. Yeah. So, but George and Melo seem to have a good rapport. Maybe they're just trying to placate Paul George.
We know how they placate.
They do placate.
They do love to placate.
They placate.
Placation station.
I don't even know. You know, you could even probably put the emphasis on a different syllable. Maybe they placate. But whatever they do, it's a case of if Carmelo's presence keeps Paul George, well, then Carmelo's value goes up. But otherwise, and it's not even that bad of a trade, because it's not like Enes Kanter and Doug McDermott were going to be any more valuable on a playoff run. Kanter actually would have been more valuable in this series. But
Kanter might have helped you more in the regular season, too, and might have got you over the hump in terms of the seeding.
Well, that's possible.
But
you can't really get upset at the idea that they were pushing for a playoff run, and I understand that, but it was pretty clear early that this isn't working at the level they thought it would in terms of Carmelo. So, a guy like Corey Brewer was a lot more valuable. The Thunder went against its doctrine. What are they like? They like long, athletic defenders, and they'll figure it out on offense, right?
Right.
We got none of that out of Carmelo Anthony this year with the Thunder. He's not long. He's not athletic. He's not a defender, and he's not a scorer anymore.
He's not young.
He's not young. So he's not tradable either.
So, no trade clause. $28 million. $28.7 million coming to Thunder's way next year. Right down the pipe. Woo. Hot cheese.
So that's the Carmelo's value comes in
the negotiating table.
Trying to get Paul George to come back. You know, we always talk about Russ talking to him. Maybe Carmelo can talk him into coming back.
Like we said, Russ isn't much for all that pandering and that pomp.
No, and he's not.
Blowing smoke.
But maybe that's what I ought to write in my column for Sunday. I just now thought of that, so good for me. But maybe that's where Carmelo's value is as a recruiter. He's an affable guy. I like talking to him.
Yeah. I would like him on my team. As a teammate, I would like to hang around Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, he's not any good.
No.
So,
he is not any good.
So, look, if he comes back and they agree to pay him whatever they're paying him, he needs to accept his role because they're going to pay it because he's not going to opt out. Now, look, whether they're paying it over 1 year or they're paying it over if they stretch him and they're paying it over however many years.
Well, they might stretch him if George leaves. You know, if George stays, you know, he's going to want, I think, Carmelo here, don't you?
I would think so.
I think I would think.
This is ridiculous.
Be part of it.
This is ridiculous. We're sitting here podcasting, and Kevin Costner is in the Postman having a sex scene. And like, we can't do this. So I changed it to Renaissance Man. We got Danny DeVito freaking out. It's much better now. It's much more sustainable television for what we're trying to do. We can't concentrate because Kevin Costner's over here romping in the Postman. Anyway, Paul George was terrible tonight, Barry.
2 of 16, 6 turnovers, more turnovers than points.
That was the worst game of his Thunder
career.
One
thing you can say, you know, I assume it's the worst game of any of his career anywhere. I mean, 2 of 16?
He's pretty awful.
You know, his defense was okay. He didn't really let Joe Ingles get loose. And, you know, and Donovan Mitchell, he was on Mitchell a lot, but they just, when George was on him, they just switched. So what I didn't understand about Billy, if you're going to switch, I like the switching, but you can't switch with Carmelo Anthony on the floor.
Which means you can't play Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, if you want to switch.
Look, Billy said it before the game. Sometimes you can't prevent switches from happening. Teams just dictate. Teams are going to force you into switches. Utah apparently is very good at that.
Well, you can go under the screen if you want to.
Billy's an over-the-screen guy.
Yeah, most guys are, but I think I'd go under the screens against Utah.
Well, this is another thing. When you got Russell Westbrook, you're going to switch because Russell ain't following guys all the way around. Russell's just going to coast into switches.
Yeah, that's probably right. And it's not a bad – it's a great – when you got Andre Roberson and Paul George and Westbrook and Adams and Jeremy Grant, it's a pretty good strategy.
But it's not when you have Carmelo Anthony.
No, when you got Carmelo Anthony.
So that's why you can't play Carmelo Anthony. And look, I didn't want to say it. I think Carmelo had some value. I thought he could stretch the floor for them if he was hitting his three-pointers. He didn't take any three-pointers tonight.
No.
If he's not going to take any three-pointers, you don't want him out there.
No, the Jazz didn't let the three-point guys do a whole lot of shooting in this series. Abrines played a bunch because he played pretty well, but they didn't let him have many shots.
No, you're right.
They didn't let George – they gave George – No good looks tonight from three.
Only guy they really let shoot threes was Jeremy Grant.
Yeah, and Westbrook.
Westbrook had to take some of those threes, yeah. And he took them with a hand in his face at times.
I'll say this for Westbrook.
He shot the three pretty well.
Westbrook was fantastic. He was 7 of 19 tonight from three.
Didn't feel like 19 either. A lot of those came late.
And a whole bunch of those came late. He missed three in the last 3-4 minutes. So 7 of 19 is still winning accuracy. That's 37.5%, I think.
A lot of people tomorrow or on whatever hot take shows there are on TV on Monday are going to wake up and see the Westbrook box score and say he took 43 shots. But they're not going to factor in that Paul George passed up shots, that Alex Abrines had a wide open three-pointer that he brought down and then shot, that Raymond Felton was taking terrible shots, just horrible shots.
Yeah.
Carmelo Anthony didn't take a single three. You know, Jeremy Grant was the next best three-point shooter.
Jeremy Grant's turned into a good player.
Yeah, he's a solid player.
They're going to just have to suck it up and sign him. They're going to.
Give him a mid-level when Paul George leaves.
Well, I mean, they might have to give him more. They don't have – he's not a free agent. I mean, like
– they can go over cap. Yeah, they can go over cap to sign him for bird rights, but – well, I'm thinking 5 to 8, not 8 to 10. If somebody wants to give him $10 million, carry on.
Yeah.
But you already gave Andre Robertson $10 million.
Yeah. Well, Andre's good too. After you watch Carmelo Anthony play 3 or 4 weeks in a row, you sort of run back to Andre Robertson.
Yeah, Andre Robertson's also got a knee that we don't know what Andre Robertson's going to be when he gets back. And the one thing that he does is stay in front of guys and use his athleticism.
Yeah.
Like we don't know what he's going to be like.
That's true. That's true.
And he can't shoot. So
maybe he's learned to shoot while he's been out. Maybe that's
– his shot does look actually halfway decent when he's shooting those set shots.
We have gone a long time tonight without talking about
– Stone Cold.
A wonderful, wonderful basketball player.
Masterful performance
from
Stone Cold.
Oh, man, was Steven Adams good tonight.
And, look, he outplayed Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
He outplayed Rudy Gobert.
He's 19 and 16 tonight. 9 of 11 shooting.
No hesitation in his offensive game.
And he
– the floater was back.
He was defending like madman, rebounding like a madman.
I think he might have had 3 assists.
Oh, man. Somebody over at lunch told us they thought –
I knew you were going to say
that. Told us that the Thunder overpaid for Steven Adams. And about the third quarter, I was thinking, they didn't pay him enough. Adams, you know, if the apocalypse arrives and Paul George leaves, it's not good. You know, the Thunder is back to where they were last year, which is without championship hopes. This team had championship hopes. They just didn't get close to that level, but they had the hopes. And
at least Western Conference Finals.
Right.
Hopes.
But they're back to where they were last year if George leaves. But they're not below where they were last year. I know they don't have Oladipo, but
– Steven Adams is a better player.
Steven Adams is a way better. He gets better about every week.
Jeremy Grant's a better player.
Jeremy Grant's a better player. Abrines is a better player. So they got, you know, I don't think they're going to fall off the face of the earth.
Look, Russell Westbrook's a better player. He might not be a better athlete, you know, because he's getting older. But Russell Westbrook's a better player. I think we saw some improvements for Russell Westbrook in terms of his shot selection. I mean, now you can base that on, you know, him being around Paul George and Carmelo Anthony, not having to shoot as many threes. But, you know, he came back down on the threes. I think in the second half of the season, his turnovers improved. He was better with his turnovers. Can't say much about his defense. His defense is still his defense. But I think Russell Westbrook's a better player, too.
Yeah, I would agree. So they're not going to fall off the face of the earth, but the championship hopes are gone. And that's disappointing. Because we're used to having a team that's got championship hopes around here.
And that's when people are going to want to see heads roll. So, inevitably, tomorrow – sorry, I'm eating Skittles. I'm being a bad podcaster. We're going to get to exit interviews on Saturday, and there are going to be a lot of people that are going to want accountability and whatnot. Barry, I guess we've talked about this a little, but we've got Sam Presti. We've got Billy Donovan. No players are getting fired. They're not going to fire Russell Westbrook. So it really comes down to a Presti-Billy Donovan situation. The coach is typically the guy who takes the fall. Billy's got 2 years left on his contract, combined $12 million. Where do we stand on Billy Donovan?
I think Billy Donovan's going to stand about where Scotty Brooks stood, which is the exit meeting with Paul George is going to carry a lot of weight. Whatever Paul George says is going to matter. Now, in all likelihood, Paul George is going to say, I don't care. That would be what if they're thinking about firing Billy, they'll tell Paul George that and gauge his reaction. Because that's what they did with Westbrook and Durant.
I feel like Paul George would be agreeable with literally anything you told him.
Yeah, he's not – rouser.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Paul, we're going to fire Billy. Okay, absolutely. Yeah. Who do you want to be the coach? Who's his coach? Vogel?
Vogel was his coach.
Vogel's on the market. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen. But whoever the new coach is, or if Billy stays as the coach, if Paul George stays, they got a lot to build around, and they can try to figure out what went wrong and make another run. But if George doesn't stay, there's some things that need to happen. They're going to have to play much better defense to be competitive. They're going to have to be a defensive-minded team and then just let Westbrook figure it out on offense. And that includes Westbrook getting after it.
But you see, that's the problem, because there's a ceiling to that. We've seen two seasons now. We've seen Westbrook with, you know, the cast of characters, and we've seen Westbrook with the stars. And what I kind of wrote about today or tonight is, like, it kind of ended the same way. You know, it kind of ended with Westbrook kind of doing the same thing he had to do last year, take over and, you know, shoot the ball a bunch of times. Now, granted, I think they needed it more so this year because, ironically, they needed it more in the year where they had the stars, because Carmelo's not a star and Paul George shrunk. But I think there's a ceiling to this Westbrook ball dominance kind of offense when you're going up against teams that are well-versed, well-disciplined, like Utah. Utah's a tremendous defensive team. They don't deviate from what they're supposed to do. They stay home on your three-point shooters. And, you know, Westbrook had a hard time unlocking that, particularly with Rudy Gobert on the floor. And the funny thing is, the Thunder had success with Rudy Gobert on the floor tonight. I mean,
yes, they did.
They had that 12-0 run in the first quarter. Then Rudy Gobert goes off for about 6 minutes, and they only scored 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
That killed them a lot.
And here's another thing that was crazy about tonight's game. Donovan Mitchell gets his fifth foul, and the Thunder's got the ball.
It was a dumb fifth foul.
And Thunder's got the ball only down five, and we're talking like 8-9 minutes left. I don't know how they were that close. And Utah goes on its own run, 5 in a row or 7 in a row, whatever, goes it back to double digits. They didn't take advantage of Gobert being off the court or Donovan Mitchell being off the floor.
No,
and that's what you got to do against Utah.
It's a wasteful series from the Thunder, I thought. It's just a wasteful year in general. The recognition of time and situation from Billy Donovan and the Thunder as a team, I thought this season was poor, because they have opportunities in games to take advantage of teams, and too seldom did we see them actually do. We saw it in Game 5 when it was a desperation situation, when Gobert went off the floor. That's when the Thunder went on their big run. Even before that, Westbrook hit a couple threes. But tonight, on the road, in the first quarter, you got an opportunity toward the end of the first quarter to really stretch that lead out, and Raymond Felton comes out there taking stupid shots. They're just running bad offense.
Well, and in the last 3, 4, 5 minutes of the second quarter, they were bad. You know, they had a 8-point lead, and they go into halftime at tied. Really bad. They let Ingles get loose for back-to-back threes. Yeah, they did not they should have been way up in the first half, and they weren't. They just weren't. And then their defense was actually pretty good all night except for the third quarter. And they
started the third quarter.
Utah scored 37 points. Utah had 96 points the whole game. They had 37 in the third quarter. So that's, 57 the rest of the dang game, 59 the rest of the dang game. They had 37 in the third quarter alone. So here's the deal. It's disappointing that they lost, but Utah's the better team. Utah played the last 41
totally.
Minutes without Ricky Rubio. And – you know, they found a way to win.
We've seen this movie before. I was actually talking about this earlier this week. The Game 6 Spurs Thunder at Oklahoma City. Tony Parker goes out hurt. And you're like, oh yeah, Thunder should be able to take advantage of that.
Did not happen.
It was actually I thought it was actually advantageous to the Jazz to have the ball more in Donovan Mitchell's hands, because he was just. He was just cooking any kind of matchup he would get into.
The Jazz didn't score a lot out of their system today. They got some three-point corner shots, but the bulk of their offense was Donovan Mitchell going to the basket. He had, what, do you have, 38?
38 points on, yeah. I think, 23 shots. Yeah. He was he was tremendous. He was tremendous.
He was tremendous.
Yeah, it was look. This is what the Thunder's been all season. They've been this team of extreme highs and extreme lows and inconsistencies and not taking advantage of situations, not valuing the ball. We saw Paul George bumbling the ball all over the place tonight. Not understanding the significance of a moment. You know, last night, game five they did, because their backs were completely against the wall, and they just had the good fortune of Rudy Gobert getting into foul trouble. But, I mean, it's kind of an indictment of their season there, just what happened tonight.
Yeah, just disappointing. And we really did wait all year for them to get going, and maybe they did with Andre Robertson, right before Robertson got hurt. Maybe, you know, they'd won six in a row or whatever when he got hurt. Maybe that was when they were going to turn it around and become something looking like an elite team. But he gets hurt, they fall back, and they never really got it going. And they just became – they were just a good team and nothing – that's what they were. They were a good team. They weren't anything beyond that. Utah is a very good team. Utah is above the Thunder, 29-6 to finish the season after Rudy Gobert gets healthy. And now they're on to the Western semifinals.
Let's touch on a couple different things before we go. Just to let everybody know, if we didn't get enough into the firing situation or whatever, we haven't fired anybody. We don't know of any firings. But we will address that more in another podcast this weekend after the exit interviews, so fear not. Westbrook had a couple of little altercations tonight. Lost his cool a little bit with some fans yelling at him. I've heard it from both sides. Like, we heard Westbrook's side. He's tired of fans yelling at him in Utah and disrespecting him and yelling about his family and so and such. I've also heard, even from Utah writers, that Utah fans can be pretty, which is surprising considering the region we're in. But at the same time, I've heard some that the Utah fans can kind of be out of line a little bit. Now, Westbrook touched a fan today. He touched a fan's cell phone. Can't do that.
I support Westbrook's campaign to eradicate disrespectful behavior by fans. I salute him on that. I support him on that. Anything I can do to help him, I will. You got to still ignore it.
Absolutely.
You got to walk on past. You know what I'd do if I was the Thunder? I mean, they do all kinds of stuff to placate or protect players or whatever.
Placation.
I'd have somebody walking out with him, somebody of a security nature. Halftime, pregame, halftime, postgame. Something like Steven Adams, just, you know, he's a Teflon, nothing sticks, he just walks past it. Russell Westbrook is volatile. They got a lot of security guys with this team. I would walk them in and out with, you know, Matt Tumbleson's the one at halftime. I think it was halftime.
I think he was the
end. Or was it postgame?
I think he was at the end of the game.
Whichever it was. Matt was with him on one of those. And Matt's the one that sort of grabbed Westbrook and you know, helped carry him off or, you know, lead him off. And that's, you know, somebody above Matt in terms of security detail needs to have that job. So that's what needs to happen.
They obviously weren't expecting it to happen, and we haven't seen that from Westbrook when he's walking into a tunnel before. He typically just walks back, but, you know, something tonight set him off. The first time the fan just yells at him, the second time the fan tries to stick a hand out and I guess take a picture or something. And you're right. No, he can't swipe at the fan. He can't do that. I'd expect a fine from him there. He's just got to – we've seen fans react to Westbrook before. We had the Philly fan last year get right in his face on the baseline and put the double birds in his face, and Westbrook didn't do anything. He just kind of just kind of looked at him like, what is this? So he knows that he needs to do better in that situation, but he also said he was tired of it, and he made a good point. Like, if somebody tried to do that to him on the street or say whatever to him on the street, you know, they wouldn't do that because they'd be face to face with him.
Well, I mean, people get in a crowd, they get in an arena. They feel emboldened by the crowd. They feel emboldened by the knowledge that the celebrity is going to look bad if they respond. But Westbrook is fundamentally right that, you know, there need to be steps. I don't, you know, we sit down low, so we don't hear stuff right behind the bench, but we hear stuff that people yell at the players on the court or when they're checking in. And it's some of it's stinging and whatnot, but I don't think I've ever heard anything that actually crosses the line. So to me, that's good for Oklahoma City. Maybe down behind the visitors' bench, it's a lot worse. But I do. I would support efforts to try to eradicate as much of that as I could.
Yeah. Yeah. Typically, when fans yell that stuff around the bench, they get a warning, and then they get a – I actually looked it up in the rule book today. When they yell it around the bench, they get a warning, and then
– so they take
after
step.
That,
well,
they eject them.
Well, that's
but
good.
That was a different situation around the tunnel. I mean, that's a little bit harder to regulate.
Yeah.
When – it's just kind of going on within the flow of guys walking in and out. But I guess that about does it, Barry. Pretty bummerific. Well, pretty bummerific night.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see tomorrow what happens. I'll be interested in hearing what Carmelo says about George. That to me is interesting. Westbrook, I don't think it's going to say anything. George is going to say everything you want to hear, but doesn't mean anything.
And that is true. That is true. And George is going to say all the stuff.
He said it tonight.
Yeah, he said it tonight. He's going to get the same questions.
He'd love to be a Thunder. That's what he said. He said, I'd love to be a Thunder. Am I right? Did he say, I'd love to be a Thunder?
He
I
did?
Think
no.
I'm quoting that exact.
No, he did. He said, I'd love to be a Thunder.
I'd love to be a Thunder.
But it's too soon.
It's too soon.
It's
He's
too
right.
Soon.
He can't be That's one what the until July 1st.
That's what the summer's for. Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure he's going to go back to L.A. and get all the L.A. things, and then it's going to be just... Well, Thunder fans, I don't know what to tell you other than it's been a fun season. It has been fun. I'll give you that much.
The Thunder is nothing if not entertaining. They are entertaining.
Always.
Always and forever.
And I can assure you that regardless of whether or not Paul George comes back, it's going to be an entertaining summer.
It will be, and an entertaining season next year. Russell Westbrook's around. He's entertaining.
Certainly. All right, my friends, we're not done here. I'm not going to say our goodbyes because we will definitely be doing an exit interview podcast. And then we will podcast some more.
We'll pod.
We'll pod throughout the summer. This isn't goodbye. This is goodbye to the season. Thanks for joining us. As always, we appreciate y'all's support throughout the season. Listen to us, download us, share us with your friends. Don't forget to give us to your grandparents as well. Educate them on the joys of podcasting. Thanks again, and we will see you after exit interviews.